You know, we talk about feeling God, who can feel him? I don't know what I'd do without that.
I know you, brother.
I don't know what I would do. When I first read the brochure about this meeting and I saw new wine for new wineskins, I began to think about that. And I'm sure there's many depths of understanding to that. But what I began to realize is that for years, Christianity, or all the religions of the world, have been trying to put wine in old wineskins. And you know what the old wineskins are? It's your belief systems. The wineskin, it's that perception you have of yourself. It's not God. I've been sharing since about 1995 that the only way that you will ever experience the beauty and the loveliness of walking in the kingdom of God, we must somehow have our perception of God changed.
Yes.
And the perception of ourselves changed.
Yes.
I don't know how many of you get Lynn's CDs, but if you don't, you need to.
Yes.
He said something last month about, in the original languages, there is no such thing as a Holy Spirit. A Holy Spirit is something that was added by the translators. In the original language, all you hear is Spirit. Just Spirit. And so, when I heard that, Lynn, I got to thinking about, well, what did those disciples mean when they told people, have you received the Holy Spirit that you believed? And I got to thinking about that. Now, we've been taught at Pentecost that what they were actually asking them is, have you received the Spirit and have you spoken in tongues? Have you been baptized in the Spirit? Well, I'll tell you, today I have to look around and I have to say, you people that believe in Jesus, have you received the Spirit? Because there's not much evidence of it. Where is the evidence? But when you realize God is Spirit, and you have a spirit, is that any different? I'd rather say it this way. We are spirit. And since we are spirit, and we know God is spirit, and we know that Jesus is the pattern son who perfectly manifested the spirit. And Paul says, if you have received the spirit, he that has received the spirit is what? One spirit. So there's only one spirit in the whole universe. And we are all a part of that one spirit.
Amen.
What does that make you? We've got people all over the earth today who are beginning to wake up and realize. And I almost hesitate to say this word, but it needs to be said. Wake up and realize that we are God on this earth. And I realize you can say that with the greatest of pride, but if you really know that, it'll bring you the greatest humility. And to know the love of God that passes all human understanding, I can't get away from that subject. See, we know that God is light, life, and love. Or you can say, I am light, life, and love. That's who you are. And the only reason we don't manifest that is we're trying to put new wine in the old wineskins. In other words, we hear this stuff and In Christianity, they try to teach the old wineskin how to be like God. And that's why we can't put the new wine. The new wine will bypass your mind.
It's true. Yeah, yeah.
See, I tell people all the time, and I've experienced this time after time. When I speak to you, I don't speak to your mind. And when we speak, whether you understand a word we say, it doesn't matter. Because you have a spirit. And spirit knows spirit.
Yes.
I've had people stand up and cuss me out in a meeting. And I'll say to them, it's too late. Because I know the words that I speak, they're spirit and they are life. And they will produce life. They will quicken life. And they will resurrect life. So you can say no all you want to, but your spirit is leaping. And you may not even feel that. The people will come back to me sometimes 3 or 4 months later, and they'll have the revelation. The seed is quickened. I believe that's what the disciples meant when they asked those believers, have you received the Spirit since you believed? Because many, many people believe and have never experienced the Spirit. And what did Jesus do on the very day of resurrection in John 20:22? He went into that room and he breathed on his disciples and said, receive you. That's what turned the world upside down in those days. They received the Spirit. And we haven't realized that, you know, Jesus again is the pattern son. And if he breathes out the breath of God, what do you think you do? When you breathe out the breath of God, when you speak the word of God, when you release the word of God, when you declare the truth and you decree the truth. I remember I read many, many years ago before I even understood what I was reading. E.W. Kenyon, he said, the word that flows from my lips is just as effective as if they flowed from the lips of Jesus. I thought, oh, come on. But see, that's how we all view ourselves, as something less than what he was. How do I get rid of the old wineskin? Don't be offended. Lynn can offend you. Ray might offend you. I know he can. I know when I first started traveling with Des Walter, he said something that really upset me. I didn't talk to him about it, because I don't do that. I'm not confronted with people. But I heard him say in a meeting when we first started traveling together, he told this group of people, he said, you just got to give up on this man, Jesus. You just got to give him up. Oh my God, yes. And so, I didn't question him, but I got alone. And I just, you know, asked God, what is this? Because all my life, all I've ever wanted was to be like Jesus. He wasn't my idol, he was my prototype.
Yeah, that's good.
And when I really was questioning about what does he mean, the answer I got back was, you already have. You've already given him up. And then I knew what he meant. You don't worship the baby in the manger every year. And you don't put him on a cross every year. And you don't resurrect him. You don't worship that image. Because that image is not going to help you. There is nothing on the outside of you that will ever come and do anything for you. Not in a real spiritual awakening. It will come through the revelation of spirit. It can come through someone speaking to you, or you meditating in the word. There's numerous ways that God can begin to speak to you. But to wait someday for someone to come out of the sky to save you, when all the time, everything you could possibly ever need will flow from the very depths of your being. There's nothing that you need that you don't have.
That's the truth. That's the truth, brother.
And if we would just begin to, somebody was talking about warfare today. The only warfare that you'll ever need is casting down imagination. And every high thought that would come to you, that would make you feel any less than what God is. The only warfare is the negative thoughts. Well, when I first realized that, I tried to fight those negative thoughts. They just get worse. I can guarantee you that whatever you're going to fight is going to conquer you. So, how do I deal with this negativity? You just let it flow through. Just let it flow through. What do when we get a negative thought? Or we get a doctor pronounce something on us? We think about it. And we fight it. And we'll bind the devil. I used to do it. Man, I used to bind that devil, cast that devil out. I've seen people fall on the floor and foam at the mouth. I don't know what that was. I used to find demons everywhere. But you know what? If you're in a dark room, which most of us are in some kind of darkness, when you're in a dark room, you don't bind and fight the darkness. You just turn on the light. And once I begin to realize that I am the light, I am the light, I am the manifestation, I can't find any devils. I don't know where they went. I can't find them. We do so much shadow boxing and fighting negativity. And we get a problem, we fight it. I'll tell you what. I don't suppress it, but I don't fight it. I don't deny it, but I don't fight it. If we only knew the creative ability that's within these bodies. And we all create. Every one of us creates. I'll tell you the truth of it. I've created this. I don't know how I've done it, but listen. When God fully arises in these temples, do you think there will be any such thing as sickness or disease? First time I heard Rocha say that sin was an evolutionary driver, I thought, gee, that's crazy. That sounds crazy to me back then. But when I got to thinking about it, the only thing that's ever driven me to where I am is the sin in my life that was a driver that drove me to God. So a lot of times you'll hear somebody say something that's really strange to your ears. Don't turn it off. Just get quiet and open yourselves. And what is meant by this? What does that man mean? That sin drives me? Yeah, it sure does. If you have a heart for God and you want God more than anything else, I thank God the struggles that I had with my habits and my hang-ups and my concepts, because they were the driver that drove me to the reality of my nature, my being. You ask me today if I have a sin nature, I say absolutely not, and I never have.
Amen.
Never have I had a sin nature. I thought I did. Because I believed I did, I acted out those creations that I believed.
Wow. Good. Good.
You're no different today. You're the same person today that you were when you left the realms of glory.
Yes.
The only thing that has ever changed is your perception of yourself.
That is a truth.
And you've been helped to believe that change. I tell people all the time, you know, our brother Bob here, he's in a honky-tonk. What a better place to manifest Christ. Not preach, but to manifest. And to reveal to people the love of God. So I tell people all the time, I don't care what you're doing. I don't care if you're a prostitute, a pole dancer, if you're a drunk. I really don't care. I don't. Because no matter what you're doing, will never change who you are.
Amen.
You're accepted by the blood.
You are a son or daughter of God. Let me tell you something. If I can just break through the barrier that you have of guilt and sin consciousness. Raise that spirit within you. Speak life to that spirit within you. You'll come out of the darkness. But if I tell you you can't prostitute your body or you can't dance on a pole, what do I care? Light, life, and love. The more we all, especially corporately, begin to manifest light, and love. Can you imagine a corporate expression that God is raising up in these days? I was sharing with somebody earlier tonight, you know, we don't all believe alike in this room. Even all of the people that are ministering this weekend, we don't all see eye to eye. But there's so much love between us. When I first met Rokas, people would tell me all kinds of crazy stuff about Rokas. And I said, I don't care. I love the guy. What do I care? Should I not love somebody? And half the stuff you heard wasn't true anyway. You know? But me and Carol, we've had lots of lies told on us. Because religion will do anything they can do to stop a living, vibrating, pulsating word of God that will get you out of religion. They will kill you if they can. It would be no different today than it was back in the Dark Ages. If some of these religious people were in control, we'd have the same thing all over again. We blame the terrorist for being who he is. Yet, I say all the time, if you were raised in that culture from a baby, you'd fly those planes into the towers. If that's what you believe. Now, we think that's crazy, but let me tell you something. We have all had some of the craziest beliefs that you could imagine. Most Christians, even today, believe that there's going to come a day when God is going to miraculously raise you up in the air, and then He's going to pour out His wrath and anger. He's just going to just be a tyrant. But we're okay because we said, Jesus, I receive you. And we think that if somebody can't believe that Jesus is God, or that they don't believe in the virgin birth, or they don't maybe believe in baptism. We put so many qualifiers on people to be saved. And God don't care enough about what you believe. God is looking at one thing, your heart. And I'll tell you what, if you're after God, you're going to get Him. You don't ask God for a fish, you get a stone. And, you know, I just want people to be open, you know. If you've been a Christian all your life, and you've been afraid to explore outside the boundaries of Christianity, you have lost a great deal. You see, because we say, we've got the book, and it's the Word of God. But don't you go bringing them Hindu scriptures up here. Or don't you go talking to me about Buddhism. But I'll tell you what. I could sit here tonight, and if I didn't tell you where it came from, I could quote some of the Buddhist teachings, and you'd say it was beautiful. But as soon as I told you that came from the Buddhist culture, the Buddhist teaching, you'd turn it off. I used to tell the Pentecostals, I'd say, look, you guys think there's more than one spirit. Because if a guy comes in here and prophesies and reveals things to you, that's wonderful. But I have a friend who, I wouldn't tell you this, but I have a friend who's a psychic, and I did. I could bring him in here, and he could do the same thing that your prophet did, and when you found out he was a psychic, you'd say that was the devil. It's the same spirit. There is only one spirit. You could be mean-spirited, you can be hateful, you know, but there's only one spirit. And there's really only one mind. Christian science people told us for years, there's only one mind.
Yeah.
It's the truth. You say, what about my carnal mind? It's not who you are, it's not your real mind. That's why Paul told people, let this mind be in you. That was in Christ. Who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You think it's robbery to be equal with God? Now, a lot of people, they stop there and they get up on this ego trip about being God. But you need to follow the whole thing. Because if you think it's not robbery to be equal with God, but he emptied himself and took on the form of a servant. There's a servant people on the earth today that can serve you the best food in the world. How do we know if we receive the Spirit? You know, a lot of people believe, in the scripture it says there's devils that believe and tremble. And so I'll tell you, when I first saw this, my heart, you know, almost broke because I'm thinking, all these Christians in churches, have you received the Spirit? Well, how do I know? Oh, you'll know. You could think back to the first time you'd ever experienced something spiritual, you knew. And when that spirit began to awaken within you, quicken within you, born again, there's so many terminologies for the same thing. That's what we call a spiritual experience. You can't deny that. Nobody could ever tell me the day that I experienced God that I didn't know what I was talking about. Oh, they could tell me that. But, you know, you could look at anything. You could look at a carnival ride and somebody could tell you what it was like to get on that thing and you never got on it and rode it. I said, we have a lot of cookbook preachers in the church. I could take a cookbook. Probably not today, but I used to have a real sharp mind when I was young. It's getting sharper now. I'm just losing the old one, and the new one is not quite fully kicked in yet. But anyway. You could take a cookbook and memorize every recipe in the cookbook, and then you could go to a class and teach people how to cook without ever getting in the kitchen and preparing the food and eating it. We have a lot of cookbook preachers. They can memorize the word. They can quote the word. They can teach you how to be a Christian, and they've never experienced even some of the shallow depths of what it's like to really have a change on the inside. You know, and that's not a judgment. It's a discernment. But, you know, I did that myself. I used to be able to quote books of the Bible because I had a job. It didn't require me to do anything but be there. And I memorized the book of Ephesians and I don't know what else, but that was my favorite book, so I memorized it. Yet when that book come alive on the inside of me, what a difference. You know, because as I was memorizing it, I'd memorized verses like, according as He has chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame. I'd read that and I'd think, I didn't really know if it was me, because some preachers say that He chose some for that, and some He didn't. But when I knew that I was chosen before the foundation of the world, and I was righteous and holy, not when I believed that I've always been righteous and holy. I just didn't know it. And I struggled to be righteous and holy for years, and could never do it by that. But experience, I would trade 1,000 scriptures of knowledge for a little experience. And so, how do we get out of our belief systems? If you're open, it's not that hard. But when you hear something and you say, no way, you lock yourself in a prison. I don't care if anybody's talking about. Reincarnation was mentioned here today. If you hear that, and you lock that up, and you say, no way, you put yourself in a box. Now, I'm not saying truthfully, it doesn't make any difference, good, right, or wrong. Don't put yourself in a box. When you hear something, you need to know the truth for yourself. Don't just determine it's a falsity. Or don't buy it. You see, that's where the love that we experience overlooks everything. Love covers everything. If Roka says something I don't agree with or I don't like, man, I love that man so much, it don't matter. Just listen. Because either he'll straighten up or I will. And it's not just, and you better straighten up. If we can just somehow get people to understand and open to the fact that God... Does anybody have an amplified Bible in here? Can I have it a minute? 1 Corinthians 13. Now, this is the best explanation of God that you'll ever hear. But it's also who you are. You may not know it, but this is you. And when I first really read this, the Lord had me write it down and tape it in the front of my Bible. And I quoted this, I don't know, probably for 2 or 3 years, every day. And I began to image and imagine, this is who I am. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love is never envious, never boils over with jealousy. It's not boastful, vainglorious, and does not display itself haughtily. Love is not conceited, it's not arrogant, it's not inflated with pride. It is not rude or unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love, in us does not insist on its own rights or its own way. Do you ever do that? Do you ever insist on having your rights and your way? When you do that, you're out of fellowship. Please don't misunderstand me. This is not legalism. This is like how do I want to say it? It'll just tell you where you are. And know that if this isn't you, in experience, it's really you, it's really who you are. And the more you meditate, and the more you get rid of all of the feelings of inadequacy and the accuser of the brethren that accuses you day and night, the accuser of the brethren, friends, is not some eagle-eyed, bow-eyed devil with a red suit on the outside of you. The accuser of the brethren is your carnal mind. The accuser of the brethren who accuses you before God day and night is your mind accusing you before God in your spirit. So love is not conceited, it's not arrogant, it's not inflated with pride, it's not rude, unmannerly, does not act unbecoming. God's love does not insist on its own rights or its own way. It is not self-seeking. It is not touchy. That's a good one. It's not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done. Oh my God, Logan. I can tell you, this is what I can experience. You can't do anything to me. The cause is nothing but love. But love for me, because I'm so often reminded of Jesus on the cross when they beat him and they spat on him and they put a crown of thorns on him. What did he say? Father, forgive them. That's who you are. That's who lives on the inside of you. And that's the life that is wanting to burst forth in all of us. Takes no account of the evil done. Pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love will bear up under anything and everything that comes. Is ever ready to believe the best of every person. See, that's what you're doing, God. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. And it endures everything without weakening. That used to be a dream. When I first started reading that, it was like a dream. And I'd say, oh God, this is what I want. Because you see, that's how I experience God's love coming to me. No matter how bad I acted, or no matter how deep I fell into things that I shouldn't, that love would always come to me and minister to me and reveal to me the unlimited forgiveness of God. Doesn't even look at a suffered wrong. He's telling you who God is. He doesn't even look at it. Doesn't consider. God sees one thing. He looks deep down on the inside of you, and he sees the seed of his life that he's planted. And he will minister to you. He will speak to you. He will water that seed. Until one day you'll stand up in resurrection life and begin to see yourself in the true light of who you are. It's the most wonderful thing. And I can't wait to see the finished product. It's going to be glorious. I shared at Lynn's a couple years ago that, you know, most preachers try to teach people how to be Christians, and I say it's like taking a little piece of corn, and everything in that corn is pre-programmed, predestinated to reproduce the corn kingdom. But if you've never seen an ear of corn, you wouldn't know what to look for. You would have no idea what that final manifestation of the corn is going to look like. But I'll tell you what, it's going to be beautiful. It's not going to be weak and sickly and crippledly. It's going to be, I'll tell you what, the light body is the most glorious being. And we are all light beings. Full of nothing but light, life, and love. Amen.